Hello, welcome to another Connected Consciousness. It's Sunday the 20th, and we're very late today. It's been one of those days, so it may not go out tonight, it might go out tomorrow, but that's all dependent on how Andy progresses it. Well, I don't want to start with Brexit, to try and start with something else. So we'll have a look at some of the behind-the-scenes activity in the United States. Been a lot of talk, first of all, about lots of Palladian light ships arriving on the Earth, themselves on the Earth and the crafts around the planet, and that we are in early January have already gone into 5D, and that the Cabal have all been arrested and got rid of, and everything's fine. That's an utter load of nonsense. However, there are websites that went up just before Christmas which were purporting this to be true. And when I looked through some of these websites, they definitely had real, genuine information mixed in with fake information. And it's very, very strange for an organization that's wanting to put out disinformation to actually give specific dates, such as on January the 5th, you know, humanity will ascend into fifth dimension, and by January the 12th, or the Cabal will be no more. It's clearly not the case. I'm still, like you, very much in a third dimensional world, and the rather nasty people are still very much in control, although that control is not as strong as it was. So please be very, very cautious of these websites that start telling you, don't need to worry anymore, everything's sorted, it's all good. And that's precisely their plan, is to make you drop your guard and to not be so determined to obtain freedom. So that's one thing. And secondly, I really want to talk about the situation with this judge. I believe we pronounce her name as Ginsburg. She's an American Supreme Judge. And again, there was a number of debates around the December time saying, where is she? She's not turned up for work. And she's obviously been killed because she's part of the Cabal. And you'll notice I didn't post any of that on the website because I knew for a fact that wasn't the case. And what is the case is that she's actually got some form of cancer. She's had an operation. She's 85 and may or may not return to work. Now, I don't doubt that this person is probably on a I want to talk to you list. I'm not going to say a hit list, I want to talk to you list. And it may well be that the person, this judge, does take early retirement, partly because of illness, but probably because somebody says that it's time for her to retire. In which case, President Trump has yet another opportunity to appoint another Supreme Judge. So this is the danger about running away with ideas. You know, somebody reads something on the internet, they have no means of double-checking it, and so they want to be part of this great excitement, this ball that rolls down the hill. So they'll stick it on. And before you know it, there's about two dozen websites all carrying it. It's actually not factually accurate. And it can actually do more harm than good. It's very cruel for anybody willingly or knowingly to either put fake pictures of UFOs up, to make promises in terms of the Cabal are destroyed or, all's going to be well. That's actually cruel. I'd rather have the truth, and I'm sure you would rather have the truth, and we know we're in this for the long haul. So will this judge probably retire at some point soon? Yes, but she's not dead, not yet anyway. I want to talk about Nathaniel Redshield, Nathaniel Rothschild. Very credible reports have reached me that he is keenly trying to take the position, a senior position within the Rothschild family. He's one of these guys who's always had good ideas and bad ideas. He's not frightened to put these good or bad ideas into practice. And at the moment, he's not the head of the family, but he's attempting to become so. And that'd be something worth watching to see exactly what his take on the Rothschild family is in 2019, and how it should or shouldn't react to the situations occurring around it. The very fact that there's this power play taking place. And I think it's a good indicator of how desperate some of these groups are. The big thing, of course, is the indictments. And, you know, they just can't start them soon enough. I don't doubt that some of the indictments are being opened, but they're being very few and far between. And the ones that are being actioned are, so far, the very easy ones in terms of reasonably middle-ranking people or some senior people who have defrauded or into corruption. That's the vast majority of those that have been opened and not the real key players. But there's a pattern emerging, and I wanted to bring it to your attention. I'm somewhat uncomfortable with what's emerging, but I'll tell you what I feel and what I know, and then you can decide how you feel. My understanding of the 65,000 odd indictments is that they will be opened, the individuals will be pulled to court, whatever that type of court is, part military, part civilian, and that they will have the right to protect themselves in terms of evidence and defence. That does seem right. Yes, if it's a military tribunal, it will be curtailed, it'll be much shorter, but the individual surely has the right, no matter how guilty they are, they have the right to have their say. Now, what I'm detecting is that some of these military courts appear to be opening indictments, and instead of subpoenaing witnesses or bringing that individual in, they are just literally, under the military aspect of the tribunal, ordering the execution of that individual or offering that person a way out. And if not, they'll be executed. If you think back to the Second World War, there was a very, very famous German general. He was called, his nickname, the Desert Fox, and his name was Rommel. And he was a hugely popular figure with the German people. And he was one of the 1944 July bomb plotters who conspired to kill Adolf Hitler. And it didn't work. The bomb exploded, but it didn't kill him. Just before the end of the war, Hitler found out that this guy Rommel, General Rommel, was, I think it was a field marshal, he was implicated. And so they couldn't they chose not to publicly prosecute him because of the morale damage to the German people. So they actually gave him a loaded pistol with one bullet in it. And he chose that way out. That's what he did. So there is precedent in military throughout this planet for this type of action that does not reach the public eye. Now, there may be some cases where, you know, there's a good argument for that. But personally, I actually want to see these names brought into court, because if all of these key players are dealt with in this fashion, then humanity doesn't wake up. You know, it's just faced with a large number of people who suddenly got cancer, or a large number of people who suddenly retired or dropped dead, whatever it might be. That is not part of the waking up process. That is still treating the world's population as, well, you know, oh, you can't cope with it, or we don't want you to know for whatever reason. And I'm hoping to goodness that this is a very minimal number, and that the vast majority will go through the courts so that the public can wake up. So that's something that I'm not overly keen on. I'm not keen on certain indictments being opened and then sentences of death basically being authorized by this secret military tribunal. You know, maybe I'm out of step, but actually, no, I don't think I would be. This Saturday just gone, I had a fantastic meeting with one of the CC groups in Britain. It's really great to see a wide range of people there. And thank you to everyone who participated and provided some of the food and the refreshments. That was very kind of you. Some of the questions that were coming up were quite interesting. And we were talking about how does the Earth need to change in terms of the laws and the rules. And there's one aspect that appears to be gaining momentum within semi-secret societies in the US, is that the need to tax people has to be curtailed, reduced, or even stopped. And those of you who've been able to listen to me regularly will know that I've often talked about the tax here in Great Britain, that actually it's an illegal tax. Taxing your income is not legal, and that's why every parliament in Great Britain, the first law they have to reenact and reenact and reenact is the right to raise tax from your salaries. So it's interesting that there's a movement afoot, and I don't just mean with, you know, the people, I'm talking about those that really run the planet, that there's a plan that you could possibly do away with tax on your wages and look at how you could survive by taxing commodities but non-essential commodities. Now, during the meeting that I had with our Connecting Consciousness group in London, I talked a little bit about how I would love to see banks, you know, lending money and only charging 1% interest. It came about, was we were talking about, was the Jesus figure real? Was he a real character? And I said that, you know, the reason that, that Jesus overturned the money lenders' tables was not that Jesus objected to people lending money, but he objected to the extortionately huge high rate of interest that they were charging. So that's what he was cross about. And so there's a fundamental point that runs here. If you lend money to friends and family, you should do it without any interest. If you're going to lend money on a business or a non-social side, then perhaps you just charge 1%, because that 1% pays the wages of your staff and your administration costs. So it was a real interesting shock to me that there were some very hard-bitten people in the US beginning to look at the possibility of something that I, and I know others, have advocated, a complete and dynamic change to the whole structure, I say the Western world, of the world that's built on the banking system. So that was something that I wanted to really talk about. What I've also noticed, and I'm sure other people are picking up on, is that the three key players now, Russia, China and the US, are beginning to position themselves for any type of, the word they use is reset, and that word has been bandied about for many, many years. But it does appear that these three major countries are beginning to stake their claim in hitherto areas that were sort of no person's land, where no one country or no one corporation or company had a say in it. We're noticing that. There is an argument, slightly changing tack now, but there is an argument that some of the unrest being stirred up in some of the Eastern Bloc or Central Bloc countries like Poland is being organized by Putin, and I don't doubt that. All I would say is he's merely doing what the CIA under Obama did in Ukraine. And until certain very unsavory characters are removed from office in Europe, Putin is going to continue to do these things. As Putin has once said, I don't have a problem with the people of Europe, I have a problem with their leaders, and he's on record as saying that. So what we're seeing now is Russia no longer being covert under the carpet, beginning now to come out and flex its muscles, just as China is and America is in terms of trying to gain precious metals and resources everywhere. So that's very interesting. Let's talk about the shutdown in the US. And just will be on its 30 days. There are two points here. One is it is a political battle, but it's not a battle between the Republicans and the Democrats. It's not a battle between Trump and the Democrats. There's a much bigger picture playing out here. Now, we're on 30 days. That means that a pink piece of paper, a pink slip, can be issued to federal employees on the 30-day mark. And although, quite rightly, they have many safeguards and protections, they can be let go. So that's a useful tool if you've got anybody in federal government that you really don't like. And there are 800,000 of them at the moment, not on the payroll. That's just over a quarter. And so there's a good opportunity there for anyone who's done a bit of child molesting, a bit of murder, and have been protected because they've been working in a federal agency. Well, now's a good chance, Mr. Trump, to get rid of them. There's also another point here that the corporate world of America is perhaps becoming attuned to a sort of a default switch off, a reset, but I don't mean in the banking sense. If this shutdown goes on for long enough, it will allow a number of departments to be cleared out. So if it went on for another 30 days, I wouldn't be surprised. Because what you've got then is not just individuals that are removed, but departments which are subsumed into other departments. One of the ways to cleanse a culture in a large sprawling organization is not just to get rid of people, but to completely remove the offices, remove the teams and break them all up. And I'll be very heartened if that is the game plan here, and that's what's aiming for. I just want this to get going. How much more time does President Trump need? We need to see some action, and it's no good sort of telling us that a 90-year-old man, ex-president, who says he's dead, we're told he's been dispatched by the good guys, when he could quite easily have just died of old age. So we have to be very cautious every time somebody who we know has got a very bad history is dead. We cannot just assume that this is the secret movement. There accidents do occur. And anyway, what use is that? As I said earlier, we need this to be out in the public. We need people to be tried for their crimes, not because I particularly want to see people tried for their crimes, but because I want the public to hear the charges and I want the evidence to be brought forward. I don't want things done behind closed doors. That's how the bad guys used to do it. I actually want the public to see it. I was watching in my little spare time, I was looking at the documentary from the Nuremberg trials. And that was because of my podcast, and I wanted just to, because I knew I was going to talk about this. And there's some fantastic YouTube original footage of the Nuremberg trials. And it said that, that the defendants were laughing and joking, and it looked like many of them were going to get off. Seriously. And then what happened is they showed these pictures of all these dead people in these work camps, in these concentration camps, thousands upon thousands of dead people. And this reporter said, that the atmosphere just completely changed. And you have to show people, and I was saying that, a lot of the press just couldn't stomach it and were having to get up and go outside. They couldn't stand it. But, show the evidence. Show the truth, show what happened. And in fact, it was all about, this film was about Goering, and Goering basically admitted to it. But until the moment it was pushed in his face, he was as large as life. And many of these people have had such an easy time on this planet. They've been so in charge and so confident that you've got to push it in their face for them to get the realization of it. Now, what I want to do, I just wrote this down because it was very interesting about the wall, the so-called barrier that President Trump is arguing about. And he was asked a question, and I don't know the ins and outs of it, whether it was a reporter or a politician, but President Trump was asked the question, will there be any amnesty for illegal immigrants? And now the answer, nobody else so far has picked up on his answer, but that's often the case. People just take things at face value. I've written it down. I'm going to read it out word for word, because if it is what I think it is, it's the greatest heartening news I'll have had in months, meaning that President Trump is going to do something. So he was asked something along the lines of, will there be an amnesty for illegal immigrants? And his reply was, and I'm going to quote, that amnesty would be used only on a much bigger deal, whether on immigration or something else. Now, I believe what he's saying is, I've got 60-odd thousand indictments, I've got 60-odd thousand people, and of that there are, you could put people into categories, but maybe I will give an amnesty to some of these people. The way that President Trump talks, he often gives you one within a sentence. He'll give you one way forward and then another way backwards. It's a very clever ploy. He's not like the original Bush, whose English was absolutely dreadful. He knows what he's doing. I'm going to read it again. I know you could play it back, but it says that amnesty would be used only on a much bigger deal, whether on immigration or something else. So I'm hoping that he's talking about getting started with all of the prosecutions that need to get started. All right, Brexit. I've got to, haven't I? Good friend of mine sent me a text today and said, okay, yeah, he's not particularly spiritual. So he said, what's your money on? What's your money on? What do I think is going to happen? And I think that there's two very, very strong possibilities as it stands with Brexit. One is literally leaving Europe with no deal, which means Great Britain saves $39 billion. It doesn't have to pay that as a divorce settlement to Europe. Although why we'd have to pay $39 billion for leaving is beyond me. And the other one is a general election. The only other outside possibility is that members in Parliament completely disavow themselves of their political allegiance and vote to try to postpone Article 50, which means delaying Britain leaving the European Union. So my money, for what it's worth, is on either a general election, which could come in May, or basically no deal at all. So fascinating stuff, really interesting. And I know people are getting sick of it, but it's one of the biggest stories this country's faced for hundreds of years, and it's really important. So that's it. So thank you very much indeed for bearing with me on that. It is important stuff that we're dealing with now, and I did say 2019, the first few 3 months or so of it were going to be really quite exciting. So fingers crossed. All right, Becky, I want to thank you so much for your patience, and let's have a few questions.
Okay. Hello, Simon. Souls are created only by Source, connect electromagnetically with bodies, and can reside or travel in non-physical dimensions. Apparently the soul loses 21 grams at death, possibly indicating that the soul is electromagnetic. But if souls were electromagnetic, they could be altered or destroyed by artificial devices or nuclear explosions and could get lost in space. What is the fundamental nature of souls as created by Source?
Was quite a few questions there. In each one is important in its own right. To my knowledge, in most cases, if a soul is taken from one body to another, it's an agreement. But there are some slight occasions when they can be taken against the agreement. That's obviously a travesty and is wrong, but it does happen. When the soul leaves our body, travels up, and if it's captured by the grid and placed into the holding station, it is struck with a very powerful burst of electromagnetic energy. And it's that causes that lifetime's memory to be erased. So all of your memory for all of your life is either totally erased or partially erased. That is for that one lifetime. So, for instance, if someone's had maybe 100 lifetimes and they've come back here 100 times, each time that they've had that. But what is done to you on the 50th lifetime will only remove the lifetime of the 50th. It wouldn't remove something on the 20th. And that's why some people have past memories. They can remember a time in ancient Egypt or, North American Indians. Because that element, once it's been retained, can actually be regained. Now, I honestly don't know whether it's possible to default and go back to regain everything other than the Akashic records. So a large blast of electromagnetic energy will not kill the soul. The nuclear explosion, I think, is a really good case in point. I really don't know. I know that any craft that works on a gravitational field is destabilized because of the electromagnetic effect, and so it's not possible to fly one of those advanced craft near or through a recent nuclear explosion. So I do not know whether the Sol survives that or not. If a Sol is created by Source, a nuclear explosion is not Source destroying that. So I would assume that the Sol would survive a nuclear explosion. There are a couple of other questions in there, I'm sure.
There are some more questions to come. Why can technology forcibly remove a soul, insert it into another body, remove one's will, keep souls captive, as in an IBIS program?
I'm
going to
forget all these questions. So let's start with the first one. So why can it?
Why can technology forcibly remove a soul?
Why does a screwdriver either turn one way, put a screw in, or turn the other way, take a screw out? Simply because there are certain things that have an effect on another object. I've seen souls being transferred by two different processes from a physical body. And one is a very mechanical process with a device that sort of lifts the soul and contains the soul so it doesn't try and disappear somewhere else. I genuinely don't know the technical procedure involved in that. What I can tell you is that yes, it can. But the process I've seen was where the person had given an agreement. I haven't seen a process where the person has not given an agreement. So that's my answer for that. What was the second part, please?
As part of removing it forcibly from the soul,
from the body.
From the body, inserting it into another body and removing one's will.
Well, it doesn't actually remove your will. That's the point. If you're saying it's against your will, then yes, I'm sure in some cases it is against the will because, you know, that's what happens when you use some form of technology to overcome a person's resistance. That's what, you know, pentothal is, isn't it? It's a drug that overcomes your resistance to tell the truth. So that's not surprising. And once an alien race has got the capability technologically to do this, the question is, are they spiritually bound to responsibly use that technology, or do they not care at all? And I think most of the alien species don't care at all. So they've got a piece of kit and they use it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, was there anything else on that?
No, they just say thank you very much. Can it be that souls are more than just electromagnetic? Can it be that they're, because they seem to be, they must be complex in some nature?
Hugely. If it's created by Source, It is a sentient living. It's you. It's what you are. It's a living creature. When we talk about, I mean, I've never actually said that a soul is electromagnetic. I've not said that. What I'm saying is that electromagnetic energy is used to wipe the memory of that lifetime. The soul is a living energy creation. It's what it resides in you. So I couldn't tell you because I'm not God. I don't know what's in it. Only the creator, you know, knows what's in that. So I can't do any more than that. It's a secret that I'm quite happy not knowing, because it's a secret that even I think those negative aliens that do all this, they know how to do it, but they don't really know what they're dealing with. You know, it's that's the point, that they're technologically so more advanced than we are. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're any further in understanding what they're actually dealing with.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
Oh, there's Stormbjorn.
Hello.
Yes. The next question is by Becky from the USA.
Okay.
Simon, you have talked before about waking up in the morning with various marks or cuts on the body. In a Skype session I had with you, we talked about different markings I've found on my body when I wake up, such as what look like needle marks on my veins, welts on my neck, vaccination-like marks on my leg or arm, and bloody eyes. But there always seems to be one spot that catches my attention, and I feel it every day. It's on the left side of my back, under my shoulder, near the shoulder blade. Sometimes there might be a little cut or scratch, other times it might be just an itchy or irritated spot, but it always seems to be there. I know I couldn't have scratched or cut myself because it's in a spot I can't reach on my own. Is that area of the back significant for some reason? Do you know of other cases where people have had the same experiences?
Right, to preface this, basically there's far more people reporting just general interference with their body than even some of the researchers who've studied this field for some years have a handle on. It's phenomenal in terms of the numbers. The difficulty that we have when we're trying to decode these marks on the body is that the human body will respond broadly the same. Doesn't matter, you know, whether you live in Connecticut or whether you live in London. If the same sort of trauma is put on the body, it will by and large respond similarly. Now that's difficult because it means that it's hard to pinpoint whether the person is being taken or interfered with by purely a human or a MyLab group, whether it's a combination of MyLab and alien group, or whether it's purely an alien group. And then, if it's an alien group, which group is it? Because although when you're dealing with a mammal body, there are certain tools or procedures you use, different aliens have different levels of technology, and therefore doing the same procedure on a person will leave remarkably different points. However, having said all that, there are some basic guidelines we can look at. We'll start off with the obvious ones, which is if you have scar tissue on the outside of your skin, you can be fairly sure that that's MyLab. The humans have only just relatively recently obtained technology that allows them to do surgery that doesn't show obviously. But they're still not at the level of some of these other races that can literally take an arm off and replace it, and you know, there's absolutely no sign of it. So if I've got injection marks, these are little red dots. First of all, you can find them as isolated dots. Sometimes they're in groups, twos or threes. Sometimes they're in circles or triangles, or they make patterns. Now, what's important is that the culture of the alien group behind this has an interest in patterns and symbology. And so some of these patterns represent their culture. Maybe they wanted to use six or seven needles. Well, they could put them in just a straight line, but they'll probably make some sort of pattern because it means something to them. There's also other probably biological reasons they would want them within a certain distance of each other. So red dots generally mean a needle, and they go anything within 2 to 3 days to 2 weeks. A human one would be where for the first time somebody is being taken by a MyLab, and they wish to take a sample of skin for DNA, and this is usually a stripe or a strip that's taken. If we're looking at some alien material, then in terms of the way they would work it, then it's far harder to detect. Grays leave bruising quite often. If you have bruising, it's from grays, it's not just from the humans. The higher races in terms of technology, like the mantis or the mantid, very rarely leave any marks on your body at all. They're not really into physical manipulation. They're not trying to hold you down or tie you down. There was a completely different style. So I need to be furnished with photographs. I can look at the photographs and then I might be able to say categorically, I know that to be this, or I might turn around and say, I've never seen that one in my life before. So it's huge. What would be really good would be to have the finance and to have access to the world and to provide or produce a photographic record, and then we could then work out and say, well, you know, this is this and that's that. But there are many more important things in the world that we need to do. But what we can say is, if you've got marks on your body, either bruising or needle marks, then somebody is definitely abducting you at night time. It's incredibly common. If I said to you that maybe between 3% and 5% of the Western world are going through this program at the moment, that might be about right. It's phenomenal. Predominantly women, more than men, maybe on a scale of 6 to 1. There are some men that are taken, but it's mostly females, because of the divine feminine, the connection to Atlantis, the capability of a woman through the Kundalini, particularly to access gifts, psychic capabilities. And the humans are just as much interested in that as are the greys. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Becky just finished us off by saying, thank you, Simon. I really respect your opinion and your knowledge in these areas. The planet is lucky to have you on her side. Much love to you both.
Thank you. The planet, you know, we're lucky to have the planet. We're really, really lucky to have the planet. And where else would we be? Where else would we be? Why would we be anywhere else? And everyone's got to make a choice, whether you actually sit on the sidelines and do nothing, whether you take out the oil from the earth, or whether you try and campaign and do whatever you can. And I think more and more and more people are, you know, trying to do their own bit. And it's got to be good, because it's got to put pressure on the people that make all the decisions on this planet. So thank you for your kind words.
Okay, thanks. Deb says, dear Simon, I'm in a pickle. I had a perfect weekend plan that went sour. Lost my job on Friday for complaining about a co-worker. Estranged from my adult children. I was rudely informed that nobody visits me because I have a gin in me.
Gin in you?
I don't believe it, but they are trying to make me feel bad about myself. Can you help me, please? I'm losing my mind. I'm about to walk away from everything.
All right. So the first of all, you know, is if someone's telling you you've got a gin in you, then, you know, how do they know that? Is that what they said? She's saying that she's got a gin in her. Right.
I have been rudely informed that nobody visits me because I have a gin in me.
Right. Okay. That actually is true, in the sense that basically what happens is that these demonic entities want to isolate you. They want to cut your connection to your family, to your co-workers. And so basically it's just you and the entity, and it wants you all to itself. So if there is a jinn and it's connecting with you, then obviously it's something that I would like to try and help you with. Doesn't say how long this person's had it for.
Well, this is a very recent one, because I'm working right from the end to get a few recent ones at the moment.
Okay. I say mix and match. Okay, that sounds a good idea. Mm-hmm. One of the things that's not fully, it's very poorly understood about these creatures, is that if you suddenly become aware of them, the likelihood is it's been in you for 20, 30 or 40 years. Right. They will be like a chameleon. They will lie dormant and they will only activate at certain times, and I'm not clear what causes that activation. There's a whole host of things, but if you become aware of it, that doesn't necessarily mean that you've just picked it up. You could have had it for years and years and years. And most of the clients that I've dealt with, I'd say 75-80% of them, they've had them for many years. So it's difficult to say, well, where did I pick it up from, where did it come from? The way I deal with that is I ask my client to show me a whole host of photographs right back as far as they've got, and I'll look at the pictures and I'll be able to tell if there's enough pictures between the two pictures, where there's definitely a change. So, you know, please get in touch, you know, and let's see if we can do something to help.
Okay, thanks. Raman says, since the last 6 months, my son has developed a weakness in his right hand and leg as well. Walking is a bit changed. Doctors told it is symptoms of mild Parkinson. His normal physical activity is also changed. At present, he is taking Sindopa plus 3 times a day. Please help us to recover by prescribing wellness products.
Well, I think this is a great opportunity for everybody listening to this podcast. If you yourself are taking you know, medicine that you're finding really helpful, or you run a little website or a little shop, or you know of you know, non types of money-making drugs, shall we just call it, a huge pharmaceutical industry, if you know of something that would assist you know, this questioner, can you please get in touch, and I will pass that information on to them. So if anybody has any knowledge, if you have any organic medicine or anything that could be of any assistance to this person, please get in touch, and you know, I'll do my best to make sure we get that passed on to them. This is a great resource. You know, are all out there listening. Here's someone calling for help. Let's see if we can respond. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Merciful Servant says, I am writing to you not to put a question to you, but rather warn you about the dangers you are getting yourself into. Jinn are using you. Use of magic will not be forgiven on the Day of Judgment. Magic is not permitted by God. This may sound crazy to you, as you have a connection with some jinns, but when jinns exist, it is impossible to believe in the maker of humans and jinns. You help people with their family star signs, etc. You get this information from jinns, whether you know it or not. Jinns also try to fly up to the heavens to listen to what is being said by the angels, and they are pelted with stones. Jinns, like humans, are being tested by God. Do not ruin yourself.
Thank you for reading that out like that.
It's just how it's written.
No, I mean, thank you for, you know, reading it calmly and evenly, and, you know. Well, jinns actually are created by God. They are created by Source. They're not AI. They're not something that's made in a test tube. They are created by the great creational force. So they have a right to live. And that's what free will is about. If I was controlled by jinns, I wouldn't spend my time throwing them out of other people. I would be doing some very naughty things. In history, there have been a huge range of people who have had the capability of, you know, removing whatever. And obviously Jesus is the one that stands out, but there are plenty of people today and in past history who have dedicated themselves to, you know, removing these creatures. And that doesn't mean that they're controlled by them. Far from it. It's quite the opposite. I'll tell you who's controlled by them. Satanic magicians. A satanic magician makes a pact with a particular demon or jinn, and that enters his, it's usually a man, 99%, enters his body, and then he can do fourth dimensional magic. But what it does is it destroys him. You know, most satanical magicians are very, very, very unhappy with themselves, and night after night, and they will like to sit on their own with the lights out because they can't face themselves. No, removing demons, removing jinn is what I do partly, and I'm good at it, and I enjoy doing it, and I'm not going to be frightened by any jinn or any demon. In connection to the great creator, you know, we are all judged by ourselves. You know, we don't necessarily need something to tell us whether we're good or bad. We probably wouldn't listen to it anyway. It's what we decide on ourselves, and that's part of the evolution of it. What was the other bit?
So I've moved on.
Oh, okay. No, I was
I
just...
think that. Let me just.
No, I want to answer it fully. You know, yeah. It's coming from a very religious. The energy behind it is incredibly religious. Rocks thrown down on them from heaven. It's a very strongly held religious view. And I know that the questioner doesn't mean that rocks literally are presumably not thrown down from heaven. It's not like thunderbolts coming down. You know, but let's just say one of these demons actually wants to change. One of these demons wants to, you know, go into the light in terms of goodness. Surely there wouldn't be rocks thrown down because, you know, humans can... change their course. Humans can make a choice for good, and that's all accepted. And the church says, you know, it doesn't matter how many times you kill somebody, as long as you come in here and I as the priest, I forgive you. God forgives you. You know, that's not me being cynical. That's the truth, isn't it? Because you can be a great sinner, and God can forgive you through a priest. That's the system on this planet. Totally mad, but that's the system within the system. So I think that we need to say that all life has the opportunity and should be able to live. If it chooses to hurt others, then it's using its free will to hurt others, and it first of all will not evolve, and secondly it's got to expect people or something that dislikes its penchant. Was a French word, isn't there, for a Sunday? It's penchant for hurting people, and decides that it will, you know, do something with them. And when I do away with these creatures, I don't send them to hell, you know. I don't burn them up or throw rocks at them. I send them back to where they came from. And that's the point, isn't it? Because if something is hurting somebody, you know, you should use the minimum amount of force to stop that and send it back. Otherwise, you become as bad as they are. So it was an interesting question. I did feel the religious energy next to that. Thank you for your concern for me. But I really think that, you know, I'll be okay. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Frank has written, "Dear Simon, we are humbly asking your participation and support for the Return of Light meditation on Monday, January the 21st at 5:11 a.m. UTC. So this is tomorrow.
Yep.
Many people globally will meditate for a change. Mm-hmm. Videos and instructions have been created in 26 languages.
Yep.
And then a website has been given, a link. You are such an honest and loving soul, so appreciated and respected in the community. It would really make a difference if your energy would be part of the meditation. It is so time for us all to really join forces. So with great love and appreciation for all you have done and do, we ask you join and invite you into our community to join. Please consider this request. Thank you."
Oh, I don't need to consider it. I'm absolutely yes, no problem at all. What you haven't talked about there is that there are certain Kabbalistic or satanic actions that take place on certain times and certain dates, and it is appropriate on some occasions to counter that. It's not a coincidence that, you know, certain very important constellation positions have a great effect on the way that the cabal or the Satan group, whatever you want to call it. So yes, I think it's something that I haven't put a call out to the group. I've let groups do it individually. If a group wants to do it, if an individual wants to do it as part of connecting consciousness, that's absolutely fine. I'm looking at possibly something else in the next few weeks, which we will action as a group. But I will be taking part in this tomorrow because it's a different time here for in the United Kingdom. But I do give my support to it, and it would be a very useful block on something that otherwise would have a free reign. Yes, so thank you for your kind words. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, that's it's to line up with the wolf blood moon, which is the wolf is to do with the moon.
Right, okay,
full moon
I wasn't
of the
gonna,
year,
oh, yeah, I wasn't
the
going
blood to, moon is to do with them.
Fine, okay, yeah. I mean, that's great, yeah. I wasn't
a super moon.
I wasn't going to use that.
Okay.
But it is now you've mentioned it, and fair enough. You know, it's part of a control mechanism. There are a certain number of people on the planet who are under control of a certain force, and there's no coincidence that this particular phase of the moon, this type of action, has got the name it's got. We're not going to say that again. And it's part of a program, and one of the reasons I did not, I left it voluntarily, is because there is sometimes some kickback energy from dealing with this type of thing. You know, most meditations, you can do a meditation and you come away and that's fine, but there are some meditations where you feel resistance, and that's fine too, but sometimes when it tries to follow you back and then tries to go for you, the type of force behind this is not particularly pleasant, and so I've not said this is what we should do. What I've said is that it's up to you entirely individually. I certainly will be putting through it, because I rather dislike the people who the evil people who will try to use this natural situation. Well, I say natural, the moon's not natural, but this type of action that's going to occur, and I really don't want them to gain any power or manipulate anybody with it. So yeah, it's one for each individual, for him or her to make their decision. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Samantha says, outer space is so vast it stands to reason that aliens are real, probably, and I'd imagine some species are more advanced and some less so. But honestly, I don't think they need to bother with us. Other species do not have the same needs and wants and desires as we do overall. So why would aliens want what we have? For all we know, some could be so advanced they experience things we cannot even comprehend and don't need what we have or want it. We flatter ourselves to think that they are interested in us. It's like, how long do you spend looking at a goldfish and pondering on how it's enjoying the tank, wanting its life?
Right, we
it's
don't...
It's kind of a statement, but
We don't need to speculate on it. If you do a Freedom of Information Act to your government, wherever you live, and just ask how many missing children the state or the country has registered that year, in most cases you're going to get told that they no longer keep the records for that. You may be lucky and find that some states keep records in America and some don't. When we look at the number of missing children, and then we look at how many are found or returned, there is a huge staggering number each year across the planet that seem to vanish into thin air. I can assure you that there are some very evil entities, extra-dimensional, interdimensional beings, whatever you want to call them, who have a great interest in humans and will take them and not return them. From a less vicious side, we have something they don't have. We have spirituality. We have a connection, or the potential connection, to the 12th dimension. We have a genetic genome code which allows anyone who had the ability to take that and mix it with their own to be more psychic, to have a greater connection to source, and to be able to evolve. Okay, and the next question then?
Next question is by Arthur. It's not really a question, it's a statement.
Okay.
Dear Simon, you stated that Northern Ireland backed Theresa May. This is not correct. As I live there, I know that 55.8% of the population voted to remain in the EU. I can also inform you that the EU are doing a magnificent job with their Peaceful programme, helping to bring the two communities together, especially the young people. Happy research. I admire your work generally.
Oh, thank you for generally admiring my work. Well, what you've done is you've looked at the figures, the percentage of the voters. What I'm looking at is the DUP, the Northern Ireland Members of Parliament, who backed Theresa May in the vote of no confidence. So the members of Parliament for Northern Ireland do indeed back Theresa May, because they proved it in the House of Commons when the Leader of the Opposition brought a vote of no confidence against Theresa May. They supported her, and even the major newspapers commented that had the Northern Ireland members of Parliament abstained or voted against, then she would have lost, and they calculated that she would have lost by one. So, yes, I'm sure that if you look at the percentage of people that vote, but when we have a first-past-the-post system or even some of the alternative voting systems, it doesn't always represent the wishes of the people. And the fact of the matter is, in the House of Parliament in Great Britain, I believe there are 10 unionist Irish members of Parliament, and they support Theresa May. So that's a fact. In terms of the EU, I think I'm going to be a little bit cynical and say that the EU's money is doing a great job. One of the reasons that Southern Ireland is so determined to stay in the European Union is they get out of the European Union more than they put in. So they obtain more money through grants and gifts than they actually have to pay out. And I think that there's a distinction between money, because there's a political handle behind that, and real wishes and wills to achieve something. If I look at Europe and the European Union, I would just counter it with the plans they have at the moment are to create a European army. That's not me going off my head. You'll find that on the official regular news. They wish to create a European army because they don't trust the Americans, and they don't trust the Russians. This is all word for word, and they don't trust the Chinese. The point is, we have something called NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization, which is the military arm of the Western world. Originally, of course, designed to stop an attack by Russia, but that attack from Russia never came. So Europe actually isn't a good force. It isn't a good force for judgment, and that is why the British people, nearly in every constituency, remember we vote somewhat differently in this country, but every constituency, the vast majority of those people voted to leave Europe. And I'm of an age, I can remember 73 or 74, when there was a vote to join Europe, but what we were actually asked to vote for was a common market. That's what it was called. We were asked to vote, do we want to join the common market? And people were threatened with, well, if you don't join the common market, you'll be outside of the market and you won't be able to survive. Now, prior to that, of course, we'd been doing trade with New Zealand, Australia, Canada, North America, India, and every other non-European country. Over the years, Britain wasn't really asked to, as a nation, to do a referendum. It suddenly moved from being a member of a common market to being a member of a government. So when and where did it suddenly become a government that was a market? I have got very grave concerns about the European Union, because these are incredibly well-paid, fat bureaucrats who've all been bankers or lawyers, who have no connection with ordinary people. They're ferried around in the most expensive motor cars, they're private aircraft. And yes, they have money to spend, and they will spend it on Ireland because it is a political priority for them. How many farmers in Great Britain like the European Union? How many fishermen like the European Union? How many ordinary people who cannot now go and buy a standard light bulb because the law says they can't? Well, that's the question. You vote for your lawmakers to make a decision. And what we've had in Great Britain is lawmakers based in another country imposing laws. And that's why Britain flipped. It went from a country that broadly supported the European concept to a country that didn't. And there will be times when money from Europe is used for good purposes. It may well be that the European Union had some crazy idea with the money for Ireland, but some very good local Irish politicians or members of the community said, well, that's not going to work. We're the guys and girls on the ground. We know what needs to work. You give us the money and we'll make it work. Now, that's great. That's my answer to you. But thank you for liking some of my work, and I'm very grateful to you. Thank you. What I want to do quickly now is to read out my list of thank yous. They're smaller than normal because Christmas time is always difficult for everyone. But I really need to thank Valerie, Enrique, Bob, Rick, Imogen, Greta, Sue, Robert, Paramajoti, Katrin, Christopher, Benjamin, Shamsa, Anne, Tina, Elisa, Cheryl, Isabel, Nathan, Olaf, Robinson, Jane, Texas, Valerie, George, Exang, Thomas, Ralph, Jeanette, Nick, Warehouse, Margaret, David, Mary, Lars, Jennifer, Rhoda, Joan, Edison, Jeff, Catherine, Oliver, Ruth, and Charlotte. If I've missed you out, I'm really sorry. But thank you ever so much for everybody who's been very kind and donated a little bit. It's been really good. I'm having to use a large part of that money for a new computer. We've had some grave issues with the sound, and the computer that we have been using was very kindly donated to me by a really great guy in 2015. So it's run from 2015 to 19, and then it's begun to fail. So I've had to use that money. Also, the sound system wasn't any good, and the chair I had, many of you have complained that it squeaked terribly. So I've used again the remaining money to buy the chair, because I need for you to be able to hear Becky and I, and to be able to come across to you in a professional way. We don't have a studio, but we want to try and do the best we can. So that's what we've done. Now, what I want to do is to show you a member connecting consciousness in Ireland sent me this, and I want to show it to you. Was it Ireland or Birmingham? Can you remember, Becky, was it Ireland or Birmingham?
I actually don't know.
No, I can't remember, so have to forgive me. But you remember, those of you of a certain age, that there was the Haynes Manual. And the Haynes Manual was a manual that was all about motor cars. And my very first motor car was a Talbot. No, my second motor car was a Talbot Sunbeam. And I remember having the Haynes Manual for the Talbot Sunbeam. But look, here's a skit on it. This is the Haynes magazine doing that. Now, we've always talked, haven't we, about disclosure done secretively through the door. Now, how have they got away with this? I marked it with a paper. Talk about disclosure. So here's the Haynes Manual. How on earth have they got away with that? So there's Her Majesty the Queen with a skin peeled away, with a reptile tongue and a reptile behind it. Colour's not right, but that doesn't matter. And that's excellent. So I would recommend you. I don't know if they're still available, but there's a lot of truth being leaked out in the most crazy ways. That was a brilliant Christmas present, and I thank you very much indeed. I guess we've probably done the time. Is it okay, Becky, if we call it a day there?
Yeah, that's fine. We can just pick up next time where we've left off.
All right, thank you very much. So I want to thank everyone. We always knew, didn't we, that 2019 would be a bit of a roller coaster. If we look back over the last 3 years, it's been ramping up all the time. But this has got to be the year when things are sorted. It has to happen this year. If it doesn't, I believe we've lost a terrible opportunity to put right. We have a terrible situation on the earth. It needs to be put right, and 2019 needs to be the day. So thanks ever so much. Thank you for listening, and speak to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.